75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, this is Larry Dickin from Secaucus, New Jersey, back with another UFO Files report. And once again this week, I have Rick Trotman out in the Seattle, Washington area, who is going to be my stand-in co-host here for a while. And Rick, how are you doing?
Great, Larry. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it. How's things going over in Secaucus?
Well, they're hot today.
Ooh.
It's up around getting close to 90 degrees.
Wow.
And a little humid and sort of typical summertime weather.
Wow, I wish it was that way here. We've got, probably about 59 degrees here. And it was raining a little while ago. What else is new? And... I don't know. It's been unseasonably cool here so far this year. It's not.
Right.
I haven't even been able to think about going camping or anything yet this year. It's really kind of strange.
Well, you know, I'm waiting for you to go camping again. Maybe you'll see a Bigfoot.
Yes. You never know.
Or maybe you'll have a UFO land and the ETs will come out and greet you. I don't know.
Well, I've been doing like you say and keeping my eyes to the sky, so I'll keep looking. If something happens, I'll let you know for sure.
Last week we sort of mentioned, in fact, we had a story about James Gilliland and the Mount Adams camp that he has.
Right.
And I was wondering, you know, if there's any chance you might be able to sneak out there sometime this summer.
Well, actually, I was planning on trying to go over there and at least look around. So, yeah, there's definitely a chance.
Right.
I'll see if I can make time to get over there and, I don't know, who knows, maybe even meet James. I don't know.
Well, you know, he does... charge a fee for people to come in there and stay at the ranch.
Huh.
And, you know, take a weekend and,
right,
and watch the UFOs. But I think if you went there representing us, and also the fact that you have articles in UFO Magazine, is that he might be willing to talk to you, and you could even get an interview out of him.
Yeah, maybe I'll see what I can do and get back with you on that.
Before we move on with some UFO news for this week, which we'll follow with some specific sightings from Rick, his usual pick, and also some reports from George Filer. Rick, I understand that long, long ago, and perhaps not too far, far away, because I think you always lived in the Seattle area.
Well, yeah. I lived in Eastern Washington, actually, as a kid.
Well, so that's a little ways away.
Yeah, 150
miles. At any rate, I heard you had a quite interesting sighting, and that's what caused you to get interested in UFOs in general. You might want to tell our listeners a little about that.
Sure, yeah. Actually, it was when I was a kid. Well, I lived in Eastern Washington, lived in the Wenatchee area of Eastern Washington, and me and a couple of neighbor kids, we used to sleep outside like all summer long, almost every night. We'd pretty much take turns. I'd sleep at his house or he'd sleep at mine, and we'd do things like counting shooting stars, and the one who could count the most would win, you know, before you fell asleep. But one time I was at his backyard, and we just happened to be both standing there talking. We were looking to the east, both standing looking towards the east, when all of a sudden we saw a V formation of lights come up from the southern horizon. And it was, I'm not sure, either 7 or 9 lights in a V formation. and they traveled from due south and until they went out of sight in the northern horizon, and I think it was probably like 4 seconds. And him and I just looked at each other and we went, spaceships. You know, we were, I think I was 12 years old. It was 1963. And, you know, we weren't thinking about spaceships, or I don't think I ever had even talked about UFOs. I don't even know if I ever heard of them at that time. But at that time, we knew those were spaceships. That's all they could be. They weren't airplanes. There was no sound. They went way too fast. So that was my first sighting, and I never actually became obsessed with UFOs till much later. Actually, what really got me going was when Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker, when they had that abduction while fishing. That's what really got me thinking about it, and I actually, you know, started getting books and studying it at that time. I think that was like 72 or something like that.
The early 1970s. That was down in Louisiana, right?
Let's see. What's the name of that
I
town?
Think. Either yeah, that I think or Mississippi, was, one of the other.
Mississippi, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, yeah, I remember that case myself.
Yes.
That's caused quite a stir. It did get mainstream media
coverage
at that time.
When I heard that, I just couldn't believe it. So I went out and found a book on the, you know, at the supermarket, whatever, and started reading.
It seems like today, people get abducted all the time, and if they wanted to get on the mainstream media on a news program something, there's no way that would happen.
That's right. It's no big deal now.
So I understand that you received some input on your Rick's Picks in UFO Magazine. One of your readers sent in a report to you.
Actually, yeah. It was, his name was Ed from Pocosin, Virginia. I'm not sure if that's right. It's Pocuson, Virginia, Pocosin.
Sounds good enough to me.
And I'll read what he said here. He says, I have a PhD colleague at a local Virginia university who shared an interesting ULO, unidentified landing object, experience with me. I work with many university personnel in my job, and I can vouch for this person's honesty and reliability. Unfortunately, the experience went unreported, and she does not recall the year of the incident. I am sending this to you in response to your request in UFO Magazine for any unreported stories, which I do request in, you know, every article, request that people send me stories. I've gotten a few.
Right.
This is a nice short one here, kind of interesting, but goes on to say she was a student at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg in the 1980s. Her boyfriend was driving around with her about 2 a.m. looking for a place to park and, frankly, make out. he pulled into a parking lot on the campus and, to their surprise, there in the lot was a glowing saucer-shaped object about 20 to 30 feet in diameter. She was excited and expected him to be also, since he had always indicated an interest in the UFO phenomenon. But there was something about this unworldly sight that alarmed him, and he put the car in reverse and quickly drove out of the lot in fear. She was greatly disappointed and never forgot the encounter, which became a family legend. This was confirmed to me by her own daughter, who joined us for lunch the day I heard this story. I did not know whether they went to another location to make out, but the couple did break up not long after.
And, I can imagine.
Yeah. He says, I know this is an unsatisfying report because I really have no specifics, but to me it is important because I know this person very well, and I'm certain that the incident happened. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, it sounds like the young lady was more interested in what might happen on the UFO.
Yes.
If she went inside.
Yeah, she actually wanted to see it, and he just wanted to get out of there, but he's the guy that was always talking about him, I guess.
Right. You can see, you know, that relationship didn't last too long.
No, it didn't.
Did it?
But I think I might have done the same thing if I would have saw something like that. Just get on out of there and forget about it. I don't want to see what's going to happen next.
It's an interesting report,
yeah,
for sure. We have some UFO news that I want to cover now.
Okay, great.
We're going to start out with a reminder to everybody. And needless to say, I'll probably keep reminding people until the festival in Roswell is over, because it's a very important event. It's getting national coverage in the media. A lot of talk about this. It's going to be the best UFO crash festival that Roswell has ever had, as far as I can see.
Right. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit about it, too.
And at any rate, Jerry Pippen will be there at the festival. He's going to be spending his mornings, 10 to noon, at the convention center, where he's going to be on stage doing sort of a, hate to say it, Oprah Winfrey type show, but the male counterpart doesn't come to mind right now. But at any rate, it's going to be audience participation, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
he's going to be there every day, Wednesday through through Sunday.
Right.
So that should be quite interesting. For everybody that's going there for a visit, and even some of the participants who are speakers and whatnot, you know, everybody will be joining in to have a real talk show fun time there at the convention center.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jerry will be during the late afternoon and evening hours at the Cover-Up Cafe.
Right.
And that's right in the middle of downtown Roswell. You can't miss it. It's across the street from some of the UFO stores where they sell all sorts of things. And Jerry has been headquartered there in the past. But this time he'll be in this new restaurant that just opened this past year, and I understand it's doing quite well. All the local UFO people are using it as their place of meeting now.
Wow, that sounds great.
So, at any rate, he'll be there, and he'll be interviewing. We have some guests that he will be interviewing, some of the speakers at the event. And also he'll be interviewing people that just walk through the door and say, I've had a UFO experience, or I've been abducted, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is that we learned this past week that UFO Magazine has graciously donated 1,500 copies of their July 2007 issue, which will be obviously devoted quite a bit to the Roswell events and things that happened in the past, the 47 crash.
Right.
Jerry has an article in there rather than me doing it this time.
Uh-huh.
Jerry wrote up an article, and he will be discussing in that article exactly what he's going to be doing there in Roswell. He talks about some very interesting things in his past experience there in Roswell in the years that he's been there before. So you'll be able to get Jerry's article right there at the convention center or over at the Cover-Up Cafe. There will be distributed to anybody that wants one.
Great. That was nice of them to donate all those magazines.
Right.
A lot of new, maybe they can find some new readers there. If anybody hasn't read it, it's a great magazine.
Yes. Even if we do have articles in it.
That's right.
Now, you know, actually, this week we're going to be talking about, you know, not only do I and Jerry do articles, you do one as well.
Right.
And, of course, we have Farah Yaduzu, one of our staff members who also does an article for UFO Magazine.
Right.
And, we're going to be talking about something that Farah's involved with here in just a second. And
great.
Then we have a couple of UFO reports later on from our friend Sam Wiley in the United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, little Sam.
Of course, Sam, otherwise known as Alien Nation Sam.
Right, uh-huh.
It has an article in the magazine each month as well.
Yes, it's a real good article.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those should be some interesting reports from him. What Farah's up to is she is involved in an event that's a first of a kind for New York City. And it's something that I've always wanted to see for a number of years, and I sort of suggested to certain people, Farah being one,
mm-hmm.
And also actually a couple of other people that are going to be at the event, I suggested, why don't we have something like a UFO conference or some kind of an event in New York City? I mean, New York City is the cultural capital
right.
of the world. And we ought to be able to come up with something around here.
Yes, you would think
that
so.
That will attract people.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, they have. And this will, as I said, be a first of its kind in New York City and actually, essentially, a first of its kind within the United States.
Huh.
I'm not going to say the world because I'm not sure. but what this is a three-day multimedia event, just like the Jerry Pippin Show is a multimedia website. This is going to be a multimedia event, and it will feature films, lectures, music, and artwork that will mark the 60th anniversary of the Age of UFOs, and meaning that UFOs began the modern era of sightings. 1947.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, not that they haven't been happening
right.
for thousands and thousands of years.
Right, but the modern era.
That's when people really latched on to the idea that something strange was going on.
Right, with the Kenneth Arnold sightings.
Right.
Mount Rainier.
And, you know, got a lot of publicity.
Yes.
And there's, incidentally, there's a new book out about UFOs during World War II, and it's not all old stories about Foo Fighters and
right.
those pictures you see.
Right.
These are some eyewitness accounts of UFO events that occurred during World War II and were recorded by the U.S. government. The title of this book is Strange Company: Military Encounters with UFOs in World War II. And it is authored by Mr. Keith Chester, and there's a foreword by Jerome Clark. It's published by Anomalous Books. And I hope to get Keith on for an interview not too far in the future, because this is an extremely interesting subject.
Yes. I've heard there's been more than just lights that were
right.
buzzing
oh,
those
yeah,
airplanes.
Absolutely.
It
I
was
mean,
metallic
you know, sightings
craft.
Of real craft,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And at any rate, let's get back to the event in New York City.
Right.
Which is called the Culture of Contact.
Oh, great.
And
that's a good
contact
name.
In the sense that a lot of the people involved in this have had personal contact with ETs from UFOs, in some cases abductions, in other cases a little more benign, but definitely contact.
Right.
And I might add that to me, I think contact is with us, has been with us all during this modern era, and probably even before.
Absolutely,
just not as many events occurring, but as in recent times. But I think it's always been going on.
Yes, I believe so.
But contact is definitely with us. And this event will basically celebrate that. And I'm going to have something to say on this matter of contact versus disclosure and government cover-ups and the relative importance or non-importance of each in the near future.
Oh, good.
And this will be an article I'm doing for UFO Magazine.
That sounds interesting.
And once the article's been published, then I will be reading that and discussing it on this program.
Great.
So it should be quite interesting.
I'll look forward to it.
I do have a draft in place, but of course it needs a little polishing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, this event in New York City is sponsored by UFO Magazine.
Wow.
And Jay Bay Productions, which is short for Jeremy Vianney, who we've interviewed on our program. And he's a friend with Farrah. They met sort of because Farrah became involved with us and started going to things over in New York City and covering them. I think that's where she met not only Jamie, but a lot of other people that are involved in this event. Here's some of the things that are going to happen at the event specifically. There's going to be some classic flying saucer sci-fi films.
Wow.
And new UFO movies. There will be lectures and panel discussions by renowned scientists, investigators, witnesses, authors, and abductees. There will be live music inspired by UFOs and sci-fi. There'll be theater, stand-up and readings, a gallery of UFO art by abductees and enthusiasts, and that's quite a bit
to
wrap up into a three-day event, but
that's
what's going to be happening, all centered around one location in eastern Manhattan, and this is down over in what I used to call sort of the really bad part of town, but it no longer is. Over in what they used to call Alphabet City. And this is, you know, all the street numbers running north and south are numeric in Manhattan, the big avenues. And but once you get east of First Avenue, you have avenues A, B, and C down in lower Manhattan, and that was called Alphabet City, and it was not a nice place to go. But after many, many years, it's now been gentrified, and it's a very nice place to go.
That sounds like a fun event.
Right. And so the event itself will be centered around a small theater. And this is not one that, you know, was left over from, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago and renovated. This was a brand new theater created in an older building. And the theater actually opened in the year 2000. And it's called the Two Boots Pioneer Theater. And it has a seating capacity of 900 people, so they're obviously expecting a big crowd for these events.
Well, I hope they fill it up.
What was that?
I hope they fill it up.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Now, some of the people that are going to be there that are pretty well known are Bud Hopkins. He will be giving a presentation.
Oh, great.
William Burns of UFO Magazine, and I'm sure his wife, Nancy, will be accompanying him as well.
Great.
William will be speaking, and there will be our own Farah Yerduzu will mm-hmm. be speaking, and also Jeremy Vianney, who is co-sponsoring the event. And there's also a surprise speaker on Saturday night, and I'm going to go ahead and say who it is,
okay.
because they've been saying who it is.
Okay.
And that is Mr. Stephen Bassett.
Oh, great.
He will be coming up from the Washington area,
uh-huh.
and he's going to be speaking at this event. And, of course, he's all into uncovering government cover-up, in other words, disclosure.
Right.
And he's also very deeply involved now with the exopolitics movement.
Uh-huh.
Being a political animal himself.
Yes.
He actually ran for office down in Virginia, I think it was in 2004.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he's having his own super conference this fall in September. We have a link on our conferences page to his site, where you can make your reservations and whatnot. And this is X Conference 2007. And if you recall, the last X Conference in Washington was held in 2005. And it was quite an event.
Uh-huh.
And 2006 had to be skipped because these conferences cost an awful lot of money.
Yes, I can imagine.
Even with the fact that they had, I think, close to 400 people attending that last event in 2005, it still didn't break even.
Hmm.
So, but Stephen is back again. He does have funding for this, and he's not only planning for 2007, he's already announced a 2008 conference that will be next spring. Back to New York again. We keep getting sidetracked, but
uh-huh.
I just wanted to say this is going to be a great event.
Oh, it sure
sounds ufology.
Like it. Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a link out there on our website that you can click on and learn a lot more. And hopefully, if you live especially here in the New York City area, you'll be able to attend this event this coming Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Wish I could go. It's a little far for me, but maybe you can go.
Yeah, we have a couple other little short items here. I got a notice this week from a young lady, I'm assuming a young lady,
uh-huh.
Who pointed me to a new website, which is called Disclose TV.
Oh, wow.
Not .com,
uh-huh.
but just disclose.tv, because that's one of the new suffixes that you can have on a website.
Yes, uh-huh.
And this site specializes in videos that are submitted, as just like YouTube and Google, but they specialize in the strange and the unknown.
Right.
And they have UFO videos of all sorts. They have paranormal things, basically they're specializing in one area rather than just being a general video submission site.
Right.
So we'll have mm-hmm. a link to that, and you should go over and try it. I did myself, and they have some really interesting UFO videos there.
Yeah, I'll give it a try for sure.
Also, we have a report here from the United Kingdom about a crop circle, and I'm going to put this picture of this crop circle up with this report, and the circle contains what appears to be the image, whether intentional or not, of a flying triangle UFO.
Wow.
In the middle of it. And so, jeez, as I said, don't know whether it's intentional or whether they're just portraying a triangular object. But the rear end of it has the peculiarities that mark it as being something like what people see. So you can take a look at that. We don't discuss crop circles too often on the UFO Files report, but occasionally some really interesting stuff comes in, and this is really interesting. This circle was formed during the month of May 2007. So, I think that's it for the news. Now we can get into our sightings reports.
Sounds good.
For sure, and we're going to start out with Rick's pick for the week.
Okay, well, I've got one here. Let's see. This one, happened June 12th, 1983 at about 11:30 p.m. And let's see, the heading on it here, the title is Disc 1 mile in diameter or larger hovers over witness. And he says, I was about 8 years old. I was living in Garden City, Michigan with my parents. I don't remember a date. I can tell you that it was warm outside at approximately 11:30 p.m. or so. My father was a truck driver and he was out of state. I was staying with my mother. I had a friend spending the night who went to get us some Taco Bell on his bike. I remember that Helter Skelter was playing on TV and there was a bunch of Reagan and Bush election commercials on. My friend was taking a long time to come back and my mother and I went outside to see if he was coming down the road yet. We spotted my friend riding his bike down the road holding a Taco Bell bag. He looked up into the sky with his mouth hanging wide open. He then dropped the whole bag of tacos and fell off of his bike. He looked in the sky, or we looked in the sky and saw, you're going to think I'm crazy, a huge round craft with lights all around it and a bright white light coming out of a big hole in the center. It was kind of like a donut. There was a hole in the center, but the light was blurred or hazy, so we couldn't see beyond the hole. That sounds kind of typical.
Right.
From the propulsion or whatever. He says the craft was made from some metallic material and was spinning at a medium pace while hovering right above us. It looked like gray metal. The craft was so big there was no sound at all coming from the object that I could hear. It looked like it was a lid to a cookie jar. I started running in circles crying. My mother was grabbing me, trying to get me in the house. As soon as she got me into the house, she called my grandmother up on the phone. And my grandpa and grandma looked outside their house and saw the same craft. They said it looked like it was right above them. My mother left the phone to go see if it was still there. My mother and I went outside, and indeed, it was still there. A second later, it took off slowly in a diagonal direction, upwards, then came to a complete stop. It then zoomed off with a flash in the opposite direction, leaving our area. My grandpa saw another craft while leaving with the main one, but I only saw the one craft myself. So apparently there was two of them. Concerned, my mother called the Garden City Police Department. She said, please listen. This is not a prank. There was something over our house about 5 minutes ago. The police said, ma'am, we haven't had any reports of any objects in the sky today. It was probably just a plane. My mom got really mad and hung up. So the next day I saw something on TV about sightings of a Bush election plane flying around our area. It sounded to me like they were trying to justify something.
And they usually do.
Yes. Yeah, you hear that a lot in these different reports. I would like to see this object again. My memory is slightly clouded due to the time past. I can say that this was indeed a flying saucer without a doubt. It was not little flying lights or a falling star. It was a huge gray metal disc that must have been over a mile in diameter. It was absolutely huge. Then he goes on to say, I forgot to mention, my grandma lived 1 mile away from us. And remember, they said it was right over them, and so did he. So
it was big.
Yes, that kind of confirms it. I saw what happened, or I saw what appeared to be windows with light coming out of them. The funny thing was that this thing had a lot of light coming from it, but the ground was not lit up. Nor was the houses in the general area. You hear that too a lot.
That's rather strange.
Yes,
isn't it?
It's hard to even understand that an object can be bright yet not giving off any light.
But of course, there are other instances where a craft will fly over and it will illuminate the ground.
Yes,
either itself because it's glowing. Or because a light, a beam of light will be shown on the ground, and you will see the light on the ground.
Yes, Yeah, you hear both things. To finish up here, let's see. I find it hard to believe nobody else saw the same thing, even though it was 11:30 or later. So that's the way it was. This is Mike. This is my comments at the end, because I had this actually in the UFO magazine, but so that's the way it was in Garden City, Michigan that evening. Circular craft a mile in diameter overhead, tacos and hot sauce spread all over the street below. What a mess. And that's it.
Okay, well, that was a good one.
Yes.
You got to look out when you go out and buy tacos.
Yes, I guess that kid looked up and saw and had crashed his bike.
Right.
That'd scare me too, though, boy.
Well, we have, as I promised earlier, a couple of reports from Sam Wiley.
Great.
Over in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And the first one is of a white merging saucer, and what that actually means, I guess, will come out of the report.
Yes.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Reported over Cambridge, England. Of course, Cambridge is a town that contains a world famous university.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of bright people live in Cambridge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, it seems to have attracted a UFO. The report states, I received an email from a witness who wishes to be called M on May the 26th, who reported a mysterious event over Cambridge, which had occurred in the early hours of the morning on May the 25th. Here is the full eyewitness report. I woke up from an unusual ringing noise. Thought it was my mobile phone, but it wasn't. It was hot in my flat, so I opened some windows. As I opened the window to the west, I saw a bright light in the sky to the southwest. Thinking it was an airplane, I ignored it at first until it moved oddly. I looked at it again, and it was a saucer shape, and it glowed white. It wobbled slightly side to side as it hovered pretty high up in the sky, but it was big enough to be noticed and bright enough to be mistaken for Venus at its closest. I live in the city center of Cambridge, just off Hills Road. The position of the craft was in the southwest part of the city center. I would almost be likely to assume it was hovering above the botanical gardens, but it was high up, so difficult to see.
the object hovered for at least 10 minutes from the time I noticed it, but as I did, I saw little speck-like objects gather around the larger white disk.
Hmm.
The specks, whitish, possibly red, very difficult to see with the naked eye,
right.
Disappeared within the larger objects. Now, I've certainly heard reports of what we would term these little red, sometimes orange, yellow, or white, probe-like objects. You know, some people refer to them sometimes as being orbs, and not, you know, not the spiritual kind of orbs, but just because they're spherical and
right.
small,
mm-hmm.
usually about the size of a tennis ball. Sometimes as big as a basketball.
Right, yeah. They come in different sizes.
And these objects are often seen coming out of a disc-shaped craft and then returning to it.
Yes.
And so that sounds like what is going on here.
That's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm.
After I no longer saw any smaller objects, the main object brightened and then dimmed to the point to a pinpoint and zigzagged up and disappeared. A slight cloud cover prevented me from seeing what direction it went in. It left a very fast movement. It left with a very uh-huh. fast movement in a straight line. But when it changed direction three times before it disappeared, and it stopped and started again. So it's sort of like a zigzagging motion.
Right. That's another common thing.
And he says it almost appeared like it was trying to decide in what direction to go.
Yes, uh-huh. A lot of, and that also that wobbling characteristic, he said, is also a very common characteristic of a lot of those.
Right. Especially the disc.
Yes,
Yeah, I haven't heard of any reports of flying triangles wobbling.
No, I haven't either. Not at all. It's always a disc. So it must be a propulsion, the type of propulsion they use or something. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, you know, come to think of it, because you're right. I've never heard that on a triangle. I don't think ever.
Well, speaking of triangles, it has something to do with the next report from Sam here.
Right.
This is orange lights gather over Suffolk in February 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Sam talking here.
Okay.
On June the 4th, 2007, I received an interesting report from a witness to a UFO event which took place over Suffolk at around 10 p.m. one Friday evening in 2007, February evening.
Uh-huh.
He states that someone else must have seen the spectacle taking place in the sky, though no further witnesses have yet come forward. Keith, his name, reports seeing up to three orange lights which had a red glow while moving. Here is the email that I received from Keith. And these red lights, orange lights or whatever, mm-hmm. reddish orange, you know, are in a triangular formation, and there's an artist rendition here.
Uh-huh.
Made by a friend of the witness, which tries to depict what he saw. And it is, you know, certainly part of it is a triangular shape.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean that it was a triangle. It could have been separate objects.
Yes.
So he says, I was interested to read your UFO report on a website that I found. I, too, have seen UFOs over Suffolk, Norfolk, on more than one occasion, but it's something that I have not told anyone about due to being laughed at or just simply not being believed. I saw a gathering of three craft. He states that it was three,
uh-huh,
so they
right.
must have come together in his line of sight.
Uh-huh.
on the night of February 2007. These were over the Ipswich area.
Right.
I was actually in DISS, that's spelled D-I-S-S, when I spotted them, and they intrigued me so much that I drove towards them heading to Ipswich. These moved like nothing I had seen before. They were mostly, they were most certainly not aircraft or lights of any kind. They were real, and I watched them for 5 minutes before they just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
They appeared about a month or so later in exactly the same spot.
Wow.
But this time for a minute or less. So it's one of these occurrences where UFOs show up at a certain location, and then they can often days or weeks or months later come back to identically the same spot.
Yes, uh-huh.
Almost like, you know, appearing at different points in time.
Right. Almost.
To them, you know, no time is passing, but they're just picking their time in which to appear and look at things.
Right.
Almost what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Because I've heard this many times.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And a lot of times it'll be like the same time of the day too.
Right. Uh-huh. In other words, minutes apart from, you know, you'll have one sighting and then a couple of minutes later, but months in time later, on the same night.
In the same place.
Same time of night, mm-hmm. you get identically the same sighting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very weird.
Yes, that is.
It says, I now carry a high-speed camera in my car, just in case I happen to see them again.
Good idea.
They were not triangular as far as I could tell. They were, however, very fast and moved too quickly to see where they were going. They just blinked and then appeared at another location. In other words, they'd sort of blink out and go to another spot and come on again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, I've heard that plenty of times.
That's it from England.
Well, those are a couple of good reports.
Right. And now we'll get into some filers' reports.
Yep, thanks a lot, Sam, for those reports.
You'll have to pardon me this week. Our recording happens to coincide with dogs being taken out. And I do have two dogs. And you used to only hear one.
Right.
I now have a Siberian Husky
along
with my Sheltie, and the Husky is also very vociferous. So,
yeah, those are nice dogs. So are the Shelties.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, my apologies for the noise in the background.
I don't think they're bothering anybody. Got some filers there? Okay.
We're going to start out on filers this week with a report from California. This is from Redondo Beach.
Ah, okay.
There is a... this particular sighting, although there's not much detail about the sighting itself, interestingly enough,
uh-huh.
The investigator of the sighting has issued to Mr. Filer, among other people, a photographic image of what was observed.
Oh, good.
And we'll put that image out for people to see. And here are the investigator's notes.
Okay.
This photo is one of the best photos that I have seen of a classic silver flying disc. And however, more information needs to be derived regarding the photographer, the number of witnesses, exact location, etc. I do not think that the photograph is a hoax because of the sun position on the disc and the fact that it's on the same side as other objects in the photo. Well, you know, that can be faked, but not necessarily.
Yes.
He goes on to say, also, the camera model, date January 1, 2005, and other information was associated with the file sent by the witness. In other words, this was a downloaded image that had not been otherwise modified.
Uh-huh.
And anybody that owns a digital camera knows that that's the case, is the camera identification information is embedded in the file.
Yes, uh-huh.
And, of course, if you create your own JPEG and make modifications, that disappears.
Right. You lose that information.
Right.
And then it obviously is not the original.
Right. So this is an original off-the-camera photo.
Uh-huh.
Generally, any software editing will remove these attributes, which suggests that the photo was sent as output from the camera. Of course, someone could have thrown something in the air. Like the old hubcap trick, and taking a photo of it. But I don't think that this is the case because the disc is in focus and was likely not moving.
Hmm.
In other words, this is an image of a disc that is hovering,
uh-huh.
not in motion. And, you know, of course, we don't know that for sure because, you know, this is a daylight shot. Is that you take a picture, how do you know it's not in motion except for the fact, you would potentially see some blur.
Yes,
but it
uh-huh.
depends on the camera speed.
Right, it does.
You know, so, you know, that's a little inconclusive. But if you take a look at it, it is... an interesting image. It's obviously been enlarged off the original image, this particular
uh-huh.
Copy here. It's an enlargement. But, you know, there's no, in what I can see, there's no obvious pixelization, so it hasn't been super enlarged.
Uh-huh.
And some of the features and the light and shadow on the thing do make it look like it's something that is standing still rather than motion. In other words, there's no blurring in the picture.
Right. Couldn't have been moving too fast if it was moving.
Yeah. Maybe moving very slowly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly wasn't flying as fast as an airplane.
Right.
For example.
Yes.
Now, we have a report, interesting report here. This is indeed a flying triangle.
Ah.
We got to have one of those.
Yes.
This comes from Hollywood, Florida, which is north of Fort Lauderdale. The mother of one witness states, "My 10-year-old daughter and her friend were in the backyard jumping on our trampoline when her friend sighted a strange triangular object on June the 3rd, 2007 at 3:05 p.m. The craft made a, this is an interesting description, a quote, wooing sound."
Hmm.
I guess like woo-woo.
Yep.
I don't really know.
Uh-huh.
Not a whooshing sound, which somebody could say, perhaps, but I don't know what a wooing sound is. At any rate, and half of it was flashing with bright lime green lights on one side.
Wow.
And on the other side was a plum-colored purple light.
Hmm.
Interesting color combination. Yeah. Certainly is not an aircraft, is it?
No.
I haven't seen any lime green and plum purple.
No, not on
aircraft.
Airplanes.
The triangle is traveling south to north faster than a plane would ever go. Sort of like what you saw.
That's right.
You?
South to north.
Right. And very fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was above the clouds, which were at about 5,000 feet in altitude. My daughter heard the sound, but did not see it. Now, this is notes from the investigator. Interestingly enough, same investigator from the California report. must have a deal with George to send in reports.
Ah.
He says here, the color of the object is most unusual given that it had different colors on each side. Given the weather conditions and the fact that it was daytime means that the witness probably had a good view of the craft. Hollywood, Florida is a couple of miles south of Fort Lauderdale Airport. I think it's north, but I mean, the last time I was down there.
Yeah, I really wouldn't know. I've never been there.
So one wonders how many other people saw this object.
Mm-hmm.
The object was seen as going in the direction of the airport. And, you know, as I said, I may be mistaken about that. I mean, Hollywood may be relatively south of Fort Lauderdale Airport, but it's still, the town is north of Fort Lauderdale. Any others who witnessed this craft are urged to file a report. And then we have another report from Florida, Boca Raton, which is definitely further north. That's getting close to West Palm Beach and Palm Beach.
Okay.
On April 29th and May 27th of 2007, the witness reported seeing objects.
Uh-huh.
This time I think I hit the jackpot, he said. While looking out over the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Boca Raton, not only did I see a similar object just like I reported before, but numerous objects. Some white, some red, and some very dark. The time I saw these objects was between 3 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and not just localized in one area, but a wide area over the Atlantic.
Wow.
Using my Kodak digital camera, I took numerous photos and will post the pictures soon. While some of the objects were stationary, some were also moving near each other. So, sounds like an interesting gathering of UFOs.
Yes, it
off
does.
Of Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
We have a report about the O'Hare Airport.
Oh, okay.
Sighting. Yeah. And this is sort of getting away in time here, but, you know.
That's okay.
This is a purported eyewitness.
Uh-huh.
This is O'Hare Airport UFO case. One of the Italian website visitors who is living in Chicago sent us this brief report. Hello, I'm Gianni, and I live in Chicago for many years now. Regarding the 2006 UFO sighting at O'Hare Airport, I must say that the UFO was dark gray in appearance, about 100 meters in diameter.
Wow.
And hovered still for about 2 minutes over a control tower at about 1,000 to 1,500 meters. Then it simply flashed away in a vertical route at unnatural speed, leaving a hole in the clouds, where it passed that lasted for some minutes, leaving people able to see the blue sky behind the clouds through this hole. I have friends working there, and they assured me that dozens of people have seen this UFO. The FAA controlling the airports denied everything, which was certainly true.
Yes, uh-huh.
So at any rate, this individual claims that he was there and saw this object as well. Of course, it's been pretty highly publicized.
Yes.
So I could write in and say I saw it too.
Right. The officials there said, I know nothing.
They're right. So, with that, we will close the show.
Well, as Jerry would say, Larry, watch out for those flying saucers.
Okay. Rick, keep your eyes to the sky.
Well, I'll do it, Larry.
Good night.
Good night to you.
I'm a spaceman, and I just got in from space. A spaceman. I'm looking for the human race. A spaceman. I heard a whisper, it was here. I'm a spaceman.